Corette of California in San Francisco, creators of feminine sportswear, join with their distributors from coast to coast to present Showstoppers. Here comes the Showstopper. Featuring your host,
yours truly, Knox Manning.
And starring the dramatic story of
Boris Karloff.
Showstoppers, the spotlight is on that once-in-a-lifetime, never-to-be-forgotten moment in the careers of the great stars of Hollywood and Broadway. That exciting moment when they first tasted success, when they first stopped the show. In the language of the theater, stopping the show means winning the grand prize of applause and acclaim. It's the first step that leads to fame and fortune. Each week, Showstoppers brings you a star and a story. This week, it's Boris Karloff.
I was passing along the street, and a beggar, a decrepit old man, stopped me. Swollen, tearful eyes, blue lips, bristling rags, unclean sores. Oh, how horribly had poverty gnawed that unhappy being. He stretched out to me a red, bloated, dirty hand. He moaned, he bellowed for help. I began to rummage in all my pockets. But neither purse, nor watch, nor even handkerchief did I find. I'd taken nothing with me. And the beggar still waited, and extended his hand, which swayed and trembled feebly. Bewildered, confused, I shook that dirty, tremulous hand heartily. "Blame me not, brother," I said to him. "Blame me not, for I have nothing with me, brother." The beggar man fixed his swollen eyes upon me. His blue lips smiled, and in his turn, he pressed my cold fingers. "Never mind, brother," he mumbled. "Thanks for this also, brother. The shake of a hand, that also is an alms, brother." And I understood that I had received an alms from my brother.
Now that you've heard Boris Karloff, the actor, I want you to meet Boris Karloff, the man. Welcome to Showstoppers, Boris.
Thank you, Knox. It's a pleasure to be here.
Before we get into the real business at hand, your rise to the position of one of our greatest character actors, that is, tell me, Boris, what was that selection you just did for us?
It's a passage from The Beggar Man, written by Ivan Turgenev, who's the great Russian novelist. It's long been a favorite of mine.
Well, I can easily understand that, even though you aren't Russian, are you?
No, I'm not. I was born at Dulwich in England.
But Boris and Karloff, both of those names are Slavic, aren't they?
Yes, that's right, they are. But that's not my real name. I assumed that name when I first decided on a career in the theater. Ooh, back in 1910, I think it was, in Kamloops, British Columbia.
But why did you change your name just because you decided to become an actor, Boris?
Well, I always thought there might come the time when my name perhaps would appear on the marquee of the theater. And I didn't quite feel that my own name would look just right.
Oh? Well, what was your real name?
Pratt. William Henry Pratt.
So you changed your name to Karloff and went on the stage. Why in Canada, though?
Well, that's a long story, Knox. You see, my father wanted me to go into the civil service, to serve in the Chinese consulate at Hong Kong. I didn't want to. So after I completed school at Uppingham and King's College, I just simply disappeared, that's all.
Just disappeared?
To Montreal.
You mean you ran away to become an actor, Boris?
No, I turned to farming. Then I joined a pick and shovel crew in Vancouver.
Oh, pick and shovel crew? That's a strange route to the stage entrance of a theater, Boris.
I suppose it is. But after that, I became a real estate salesman.
But how did you break into show business?
Well, I answered an ad for an experienced actor for the Ray Brandon Players, Kamloops, British Columbia. And what's more, I got the job.
Yes, but you'd never set foot on the stage before in all your life.
Maybe not professionally, Knox, but I had played the demon in the Christmas pantomime at Enfield, England, at the age of 8.
The demon, eh? A typical Karloff role, even as a child.
And my first professional role was in a play called The Devil.
Ah, now you're really cooking, Boris. The demon in England, the devil in Canada, and then Frankenstein.
Oh, no. Then a cyclone hit Regina, where we were playing at the time, and I got a job helping to clear away the debris.
You're the hardest working actor outside the theater I ever heard of. How did you finally end up in Hollywood, Boris?
Oh, with a company playing the Virginian in December of 1917, I think. But shortly after that, the flu epidemic hit Los Angeles.
So?
So I went to work for the Sperry Flour Mill.
Were they hiring actors, Boris?
Well, they hired this one, Knox. Piling flour sacks, and they weren't empty. And loading freight cars.
You certainly came up the ladder of fame the hard way, Boris Karloff. We'll be back for your showstopper in just a few moments.
With a touch of Western magic, Corette of California brings you eyestoppers in sportswear. Casuals that team for your comfortable living. Pair their blouses and sweaters with trick skirts, pleat skirts, and girdle slacks. Get out and into the sun in their trick shorts and trick combos. For zestful styling, for original fun togs as sparkling as Western sun, it's Sportswear by Corette of California.
Now back to the turbulent career of Boris Karloff and his showstopper. You know, Boris, it's just a little bit difficult for me to picture the monster in Frankenstein trudging around a flour mill and loading freight cars.
Oh, that was a long, long time before Frankenstein entered my life, Knox.
Yeah, still, I've never heard that movie scouts hang around flour mills. How did you finally crash the golden gates of Hollywood?
As an extra in a Universal picture directed by Frank Borzage.
And that was your break, eh?
Oh, no. Off and on, I just do bit parts in all kinds of pictures.
Well, how did you get your first real chance, Boris?
Like all the other hopefuls, by luck. During one of the frequent lulls in my infant career in pictures, I used to spend my days just simply walking up and down Vine Street and Hollywood Boulevard. One such day, a particularly warm one, as I remember, I happened to wander into the offices of the Actors' Equity Association, really more to get off the streets than anything else, and to rest my tired feet. Phew, certainly is hot out there today.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Nice and cool in here, though. Do you mind if I sit for a while?
No, help yourself.
Thanks. Anything happening around town?
Same old stuff. Quiet. Still casting a part or two for the criminal code, that's all. The
criminal code?
At the Belasco. I don't think... Hey, wait a minute. There's the part of a killer in that, Galloway. I'd fit that. Want to have a go at it?
Well, at the moment, I am at liberty.
Oh, good. I'll send you over there. What's your name?
Boris Karloff.
Karloff? I don't think I've ever heard of you before.
I'll bet he heard of you soon after, Boris, because you got that part in the criminal code, and that led to you playing the same role on the screen, didn't it?
Yes, Knox.
And that, in turn, led to Frankenstein and countless other important character parts and countless other important pictures.
Yes, I suppose it did. But, you know, strangely enough, what you call my showstopper, my real showstopper, that didn't come in films, but on the stage of the Fulton Theater in New York City.
Now, you mean an arsenic and old lace.
I certainly do.
But what about Frankenstein, Boris? I always thought that picture made you famous overnight.
Well, the monster did attract a great deal of attention, and I don't really mean to bite the hand that fed me. But what really happened is that in Frankenstein, I sort of, well, I grunted my way to fame.
And in arsenic and old lace?
I played the part of Jonathan Brewster, who boasted that he'd murdered 13 men.
Well, I can see how you might enjoy that kind of a part.
I did indeed. It was a wonderful part. Even though all the murders had been committed before I ever appeared on the stage.
Not a single murder by Karloff? Didn't the audience feel cheated, Boris?
No, they seemed to enjoy it. I know I did, for over 3 years.
Yes, you certainly set a record for laughs and thrills in arsenic and old lace. Tell me, how did you happen to get that part? You'd never done a play on Broadway before, had you?
No, I hadn't, and I nearly talked myself out of this one.
Oh, how was that?
Well, I'd been fairly busy in pictures and leading a very satisfactory existence in Hollywood, when one day a friend of mine called me and told me that Russell Crouse, the producer from New York, was in town and would like to meet me. So, a luncheon date was arranged. It was in the middle of the dessert that Crouse revealed his real purpose.
Karloff, how would you like to do a play in New York?
I wouldn't like it at all.
What? You wouldn't?
No, Mr. Krause, I wouldn't.
Oh, what the devil am I buying your lunch for?
I don't know, but I've enjoyed it. But look, I'm a film actor. Oh, yes, I know. I've played in the theater a good deal here and there in the early days, but I haven't played on Broadway.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Well, I just don't want to stick my neck out, and I wouldn't want you to either. Now, there's no use to kid ourselves, Mr. Krause. My name doesn't mean a thing to a New York audience. Couldn't carry a play out of Stamford, Connecticut.
Oh, I don't know, Karloff. The play Lindsay and I have in mind...
The only play I'd consider would be one in which there are at least two other parts that are more important than mine. I'm just a character actor, you know, not a star.
True. Well, it just so happens that this play fits your specifications to a T. You see, it has to do with two maiden ladies who've committed a lot of murders. It's really their play. You'd play their brother who's had his face lifted. See, you're hiding from the police.
Sounds interesting.
Well, right on your first entrance, your sisters don't recognize you. But you look familiar to them because you look like somebody they've seen in the movies. You turn on the plastic surgeon who has changed you and you say, "This is your work, doctor. They think I look like Boris Karloff."
Like Boris? Mr. Krause, I'll do the play.
Oh, good. But why?
Because that kind of a comedy, any audience will understand.
And you were certainly right, Boris. When the curtain fell on the last act of Arsenic and Old Lace on the night of January 10th, 1941, that first night audience in New York knew that they had seen a great showstopper. Their applause and their laughter and their cheers lifted the name of Boris Karloff to new eminence among the great showstoppers of all time.
Boris Karloff, back to say thank you to our listeners and to our host, Knox Manning. And you're invited to join the Showstoppers again next week at this same time for the story of Bonnie Baker.
Colette of California in San Francisco and their distributors throughout the nation have presented Showstoppers. Listen again next week, same time, same station, for another performance of Showstoppers.